We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks. Promo code LightYears. $100 match on your first deposit. Guys, you're going to want to sign up for Prize Picks. They're giving you free money, $100, for your first play. You could be like Andy and I, just winning left and right, winning more often than the Warriors. Although, not tonight. Tonight, Warriors' biggest win of the season, maybe?
Yep,
104-100. Over the Dallas Mavericks, let me preface it real quick by saying this puts them three games over the Houston Rockets. In some ways, it dulls the excitement over Thursday's game. But I think I speak for everyone when I say, that's okay. I didn't need the stress of a 10th place game falling out of the play-in game on Thursday. You know what? A really nice fifth win in a row. A win at home against maybe the hottest team in the West and just the team I thought I was going to see most of the year, we saw tonight. The team I saw the first week of the season, we saw tonight. I'll let you take it away. Big, big fucking win.
By far the best win of the season. They exercised a lot of the demons that I thought that they struggled with this year. You're right. I just to shout out the number one thing that I thought was amazing. The defense, man, the defense was incredible tonight. To me, it always feels, I mean, how long have we freaking done this in? Like a decade. And to me, it's always been the best games I've ever watched from this team starts with how good they are on defense. I don't really care if this team wins a game 135 to 125. It's not a serious team. It's not real basketball. It's fake. If they're going to want to win a playoff game or two or three or four, or maybe two playoff series.
God forbid,
I don't know.
A series.
God forbid. Yeah, exactly. If they want to win a playoff series, it starts with what they did tonight. 100 points, which is just kind of end game. Like the Mavs scored 100 points and a couple bullshit ones at the end. But they did what they always do. They let Luka get his because nobody stops Luka. They let Kyrie get his because nobody really stops Kyrie. And really, no one else did a thing outside of, I mean, PJ Washington at 20 shots on 20 points on 19 shots. But other than that, nobody did a thing. And that is classic Steve Kerr defensive game plan. And it worked to perfection. So I was elated. I thought everyone was great. Steph was amazing on defense. I thought Pods was amazing on defense. Wiggins, we'll get to him, amazing on defense. I just think the personnel that they're throwing out there right now makes sense. The starting five is a really good defensive starting five, so we'll just start there. But other than that, you throw GP2 in there. You throw Chris Paul, who played some pretty good defense. I was surprised. Some pretty good defense on Kyrie tonight. Was that Chris Paul's best game? And now I'm just going on and on. But just that's it. The defense. Best game of the season. Best defense of the season. I could play with this. This I could roll with all year long.
It does, and it does feel like the ref swallowed the whistles, which has been kind of a thing people have been talking about since the All-Star break. We've all seen the articles from our guys, Tom Haberstroh, Ethan Strauss. There does seem to be this change in the way the league's officiating post-All-Star break, and I think it benefits the Warriors. I think it's I think it's funny because people always associate this team with shooting an offense when in fact, and Steph didn't shoot the ball well tonight, neither did Clay. This team would rather kind of get in the mud and trust that they're going to hit more shots than you if it's a dirty game, if it's an ugly game, physical, than the other way around. That's always kind of been their thing. They don't have a lot of offense. They haven't had a lot of offense the majority of this run. Even the KD years, it was kind of three dudes in defense. And when they're allowed to defend, you know what? Like, I'll take a single possession game with this team if you can actually defend. I thought Draymond, in my opinion, Draymond was the best player on the floor tonight. He quarterbacked everything, but Wiggins was phenomenal.
Yep.
Best game of the season for him both ways. GP2, you know, I've been disappointed with him for the majority of his return. Mostly he just hasn't been available enough, right?
Yep.
But tonight, this was like the guy that helped them win a title 2 years ago.
Yep.
And to your point, you can go down the line. I just thought defense down the line. Ugly game. But I like seeing them win ugly games. I like seeing just adversity and if they're going to be tough enough to fight through it.
Yeah, these are the type of games that I think are real postseason. Look, we're not going to sit here and say like this is what makes a title contender. We know what makes a title contender. We know what makes the Warriors a title contender. Mm-hmm. But when the Warriors play like this, I'm just like, man, like that's real. That's who they've been. The strength in number stuff is true because Steph had a stinker tonight, 5 for 18. Mm-hmm. But you look down the line. I mean, we can basically call Chris Paul strength in numbers, but like he had 14. Moses Moody somehow can shoot threes again. He's just amazing from three now, which is kind of what we expected him to be, right? And then I think to cap it off, you say back to 2022, you say GP2. Yeah, man, Andrew Wiggins. I think he thought it was 2022 tonight because he saved some bacon there in the third quarter. And then I don't know, like the guy's been awful on touch all season, and tonight he's just pulling from mid range. He has a couple push shot one handers that are just money right over Daniel Gafford, who's an elite shot blocker. So defense and strength of numbers. We sound like Steve Kerr. Like I bet you Steve Kerr's in the locker room right now, just the full fist pump. Meme is Steve Kerr. Do you think he's happier about this game than he is if Steph went out there and dropped 42 tonight?
Yeah, because it's sustainable. Yeah. They play kind of shitty defense, but Steph bails them out. Like
this is
the type of game he wants to see. I was thinking about this. Have you noticed how every game for the last at least 2 months, first possession is a play for Wiggins, whether it's a post up or Steph screening for him, like. Trying to get him going, trying to get him engaged. Classic coaching strategy. If you have a guy who's talented but kind of aloof, you're like, well, let's get him going so he's into the game, right? And I kind of was thinking about it. I wonder if a more physical game is almost more beneficial for him too. Like him being able to play defense on Luka, him not being worried that if he contests a single shot, it's gonna be free throws, which is really frustrating. If that doesn't lead into it, because like offensively he's always gonna be a little bit of more of a grab bag than you want. There's always gonna be a couple of those soft finishes where you're like, oh, come on, man. But with him, for me, it's just like just keep going. Don't like get in your head or disengage over one bad possession. And I thought tonight was by far his best game of the season. And like, I can get behind that kind of player.
That was the Warriors' best game, but you're right. That was Wiggins' best game of the season. It just, you got to remember, I mean, I know everybody listening tonight on playback right now and going to be listening tomorrow. You got to remember this team beat this Mavs team in the Western Conference Finals, right? Like not the same team. They had Jalen Brunson. Put Jalen Brunson in. And take out Kyrie and stuff, but kind of the same stuff. And you're kind of seeing what Luka is. I think Luka's probably a much better player than he was a couple years ago. But for the Warriors, the stuff remains the same, right? Like you can score enough on this Mavs team. Like go scroll down on this box score and see what the Warriors shot today. Cause I swear they were shooting 50-40, right, from the field. Okay, so they missed a couple shots there in the fourth quarter, but they shot 47% from three, 15 threes, 45% from the
throws.
Yeah, we're going to ignore that because that was bullshit. 45% of the field, they were actually shooting 50 until the last couple of minutes because, you know, Warriors in crunch time, you know how that goes. But, like, they can score enough on this Mavs team. It really is. How good are they going to be against Luka and Kyrie? And I thought they did a fine job. I mean, Luka's the guy. You know, the comments are kind of comparing him to Harden, kind of putting up just easy 40, easy 35 a game. He's felt a like he better. Worked for it. Like he worked for it. Is he a lot better? We'll see.
I will side with Luka because what he did to the Phoenix Suns 2 years ago in the playoffs,
yeah, that's
immediately
true.
Supersedes that's true. Anything James Harden's ever done in the playoffs. Not to say that the overall flaws are not the same. But, you know, I'll give him a little credit for that one.
At least Harden, yeah, I think that's right. That's a signature moment. But is that like a Damian Lillard signature moment in the playoffs?
Time will tell, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. So I forgot about that. That was pretty funny. Anyway, best game of the year, man. That was fun. It's a hell of a game.
It is. And I want to focus on the refs just a little bit here because it does feel like it's a different NBA when they swallow their whistles a little bit there. Does it feel like this is sustainable for the Warriors going forward? Because right now they're at 41-34. I think it's hilarious. They're in the 10 seed. They're going to finish with a better record than they finished last year. And it doesn't really feel that much better.
Are they a better team? Does
they are a better team.
Okay.
I think they're a better team, but they're just being a better team and being good enough, and they're probably still not good enough.
Good point. I think they're a better team, but yeah, barely. Which is, I think I agree with you. Which is saying the same thing you are. You want to talk about the rules? Let me throw this at you because I agree that I like the rules. Let me ask you this: is it hurting Steph? These rules. And the Light Years podcast, we, after the game of season, are brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100x your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries. Just a couple games left. Final Four on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Conference tournaments, long gone, but Final Four is here, which means the biggest moments in hoops, in college hoops, women's and men's, are getting closer. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both Final Fours. If you want to play alongside some of the Prize Picks favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley, one of the best fighters out there right now, you can now find community plays under the promos tab of the app. To view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Pick community each week. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It is that easy. And we, Light Years Podcast, are brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All in prices, show your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. Buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you pick the section. Game Time picks the seats for big-time savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and roll for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed.
Let me take you back to your question. Does the new rule interpretation, or what we interpret as a change in officiating, is that hurting Steph? Is that hurting Steph Curry? Steph had a rough night tonight, 5 for 18 from the field. Felt like he never really got going. He didn't really get going. His numbers suggest that. Also, if you watch the game, suggested that. The numbers I'm putting up right now, these are Steph's numbers post All-Star break. They don't reflect tonight. Tonight's not going to help these numbers. 41% from the field since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
35.5% from three since the All-Star break. I guess there's three things one can consider. Is it the new ref interpretation? Is he just aging? Or is it the roster? So I want to turn the question on you, Andy Lou. Which of those three do you think is the biggest factor? And just before we get to Andy's answer, I want to say we're taking callers right after this.
Oh, man. You've given me the options that I think I know the one that I want. But it's such a great night that I think it hurts. And Steph's going to go. He's going to go 15 for 25 from three the next two games. And I'm going to sound crazy, but I do think a lot of it is he is getting older and he is tired. I think that's more of it than the rules. I think it's more of it than the roster, because some of this stuff is I think he's just exhausted, man. And why is he exhausted? He's just older. I mean, he's 36 and he's not playing that many minutes, but you got to get up and play these games. So I don't think it's a matter of, oh, he's sitting 2 minutes here, he's sitting 2 minutes there. I don't think that's actually hurting them. It's that they're traveling and they're playing every other night. And I think that's the stuff that's wearing him down. He got hurt a couple weeks ago. He came back from that injury. I just think it's a lot for a guy that's not a 6'10 dude, right? He's not that size, and he's already on the older side. So I think there's a decent chance that he's going to get hot and do his thing again. I'm just saying, this is just what happens when you're older. Like, it's not really slender. I just think this is what happens. And times like these are going to stretch longer than we admit.
Wow, you think he sucks? That's
fucking, I think it's more that than
fucking offensive,
people,
man.
People are like the rules. That's why I asked you. Like, or it's like other stuff. It's like, it's not the rules. It's not. Yes, he should have gotten 3 foul calls tonight. He should have gotten 6 more points, 6 free throws, right? But. Mm-hmm. Give him a week off. He's gonna come back. He's gonna look amazing, right? But he can't take a week off. He can't take a week off because they're fighting for 10th place. That's it. So,
I have a couple interesting numbers for you tonight. Steph is up to 2,254 minutes on the season. The last time he played that many minutes, 2018-19.
Wow,
when he was 29, he's 30 years old. Sorry. He will undoubtedly end the season at over 24, 2,500 minutes. The last time he did that was 2016-17, KD's first season. There's a very realistic chance he ends up playing the most minutes since he's played since his unanimous MVP season. I do think fatigue is a massive factor for him. And I think you made a strong case to me. I don't actually think the rules are the limiting factor here. I think it's a combination of he's a little older, and this is the worst roster he's ever played with. Or not ever, but like the worst roster he's played with during this run. And so one has to, because like you could make the case, if he had a viable number two, if he was in LeBron's situation with Anthony Davis,
sure,
would he look as old as he looks right now? I don't think so. I think you'd have someone to rely on a consistent basis, as opposed to every night. Like we're talking about Andrew Wiggins, and he was spectacular tonight. But Andrew Wiggins is averaging under 14 points per game on the season. And even if Wiggins was playing up to his best, he's an 18 point per game guy. I chug along. I play good two-way basketball, and every third game I give you 22. You know, yeah. he's not like a give me the ball, I'm the guy tonight kind of guy. Klay Thompson is no longer that player. So I really do think the biggest driver of this is you're putting way too much on a dude at 36 at this age. I actually don't think he's worn down by any capacity, other than the realities of dealing with his age.
So. Yeah, it's not an optimal situation. But then we say all this, and any plays a bad game tonight, and the Warriors win. Now, more often than not, that doesn't happen. But if they're going to put this type of defensive effort together, it can be sustainable. And keep in mind, I think Wiggins out. Kuminga's out tonight. He supposedly is going to be back on Thursday, so maybe that takes a little bit of an offensive load off of Steph. Mm-hmm. But again, they're playing great on defense, and Kuminga's not been a good defensive player, so that'll be interesting to see kind of what happens with that on Thursday. But hopefully that helps them. It should, especially offensively.
I've pulled up the standings, but for those listening, I just want to bring this point home. First place, Denver Nuggets. They have 325-plus point scorers. Guys like Jamal Murray, Michael Porter, and obviously Jokic. Minnesota Timberwolves. Ant's been amazing, but for the duration of the year, he's had Karl Anthony Towns to rely on. Thunder, goes without saying, Shea, Jalen, Chet, like those are three guys who can buy, you know, can fill up the scoring sheet. Clippers, I don't need to go into. Dallas, Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah.
Pelicans, Ingram's hurt now, but he hasn't been hurt most of the year. Ingram and Zion, Kings, Fox and Sabonis, Suns. I mean, come on, you know, Lakers, LeBron, AD. And then you look at the Warriors. It's Steph.
Goons.
And it's no one you'd really put on the same level as any of the names I listed there, at least not offensively. Not like I'd rather have Draymond or Wiggins than Sabonis for defensive reasons. But when we're talking about pure offense, Sabonis
but you're talking about offensive player. Even you know? So, as a player, yeah. I mean, just like Sabonis is available, right? Rudy Gobert is available, right? They've been playing all year. I think that's also the thing, because like, let's say if Draymond's played all year like those guys, then like availability is the issue with the Warriors' second player with Draymond, right? And then you talk about the other second players like Clay and Wiggins, different issues. But with Draymond, like, let's say he doesn't get suspended and doesn't ever get ejected, where are the Warriors, right? Probably 45 wins, same as the Pelicans, right? So I do think that where you look at other teams, like Rudy Gobert doesn't miss games. He's just in the, he's just playing every game. And he's awesome, even though he's, you know, we make fun of him, but like he, every game he's great. Like, so stuff like that. So, and say, same with Sabonis. Like, if you're talking about regular season, like, I'd rather have Sabonis than Draymond. Just,
I mean, imagine someone like Sabonis next to Steph.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the perfect, it's not like the optimal long-term fit, but they would just rack up regular season wins.
Rack up. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was and then the last point I wanted to bring out, you mentioned Kuminga's back Thursday. He didn't play tonight, missed the last week with tendonitis. What do you make of Kuminga's absence right now? Like,
I'm a little they say he's back, right? I think Slater reported he will be back for sure. So that thank goodness, because man, if he sat any longer, I would really be concerned. So I think they need him offensively. I think the pods look great tonight. We didn't even talk about pods, and I'm sure the goons will once we get to them. But they're finding just enough offense right now without him. The only thing I'm concerned about is, like, you put Trayce Jackson-Davis with Wiggins, with Draymond, that's a really damn good defensive starting lineup. And and Kuminga's defense not good, man. So I just, you know, we'll see. I like TJD in the starting lineup. I really do. It lets Draymond roam, and it's awesome.
It does. One, to your point, yeah, TJD is not a traditional center in the sense he's 7 feet tall, but he is a center, like, by trade. Like, he knows his role. He's a center.
It works. Yeah.
And I don't want to say it speaks to... Let's just say Kuminga needs to do a little more in terms of generating winning than just scoring, because they're on a 5-game winning streak without him. And I'm not here to say he's bad or he's overrated or anything like that, but like, two things that stand out without him being absent is they play better defense. And no, that's the main one. I was going to say the offense makes more sense. Like, in some ways, I don't know if the offense is better without him.
Yeah, I know what you wanted to go with. Yeah, yeah. But then they also, but the offense kind of doesn't work without him too, right? Because
it doesn't. I mean, the offense doesn't really work with him either, though. Yeah. So.
It's the defense, though. End of the day, it's the defense. It really is. Like, if this team can't play defense, they're not a serious team. I don't care how many points you score. Truly, do not. And this is why tonight, this is the Warriors' best effort. Mm-hmm. Because the Mavericks have won how many games in a row, Sam, before this game? Seven?
They've been the hottest team. They've been the hottest team in the West the last, right? I don't know, 3 weeks or so. Yeah. They've been excellent. And they are excellent. And I still think they're better than their seed, you know? But like, yeah, big game. So I do think defense is the biggest thing. All the offensive questions are less relevant than Kuminga playing up to his physical capabilities on defense. So I'll be curious how it comes back when he comes in, because I thought he actually played really good defense in December when he started game minutes, but the last couple of months, it's not been there. And, you know, that's kind of a problem.
Light Years Podcast, brought to you by Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like us, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being, proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by an energy enhancement system, or EE system. If you haven't heard of EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you've been here in the Bay Area or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/lightyears to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/lightyears. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
All right, we got a long line of goons. We're going to move fast. I'm going to lead off with, we'll go with Ebony. Ebony always brings the vibes. What's up, Ebony?
What's up?
How you feeling?
Pretty darn good, man. I mean, you know, it was funny because like the third quarter starts and I'm like, all right, good talk. That was fun while it lasted. Let me come back down to earth real quick. And then it just pops off, man. Like Draymond gets the block on Gafford, who's like a bona fide like rim protector and like shot creator around the rim, and you watch him block that shot and you're like, all right, well, we can't ever trade Draymond. So back to that conversation, GP2 looks like he actually wants to play and like he's not injured anymore, so that's fun and interesting and is promising for the next, you know, at least for the next few weeks. And, you know, hopefully it stays that way. CP3 remembers how to shoot, so that's cool. Pods, it was rough watching him. Like, I think it was the third quarter. He, like, drove into the lane, like, two or three times and just, like, turns it over. And so that's rough. Like, you know, he's a rookie and stuff. So it's like, whatever. You can live with it because he's just trying to build momentum. But I think Wiggins just like trying on defense, like he always shows up for the Mavericks. Like if he's not going to play for anyone, any other team, like play against them or put in effort, he's going to put in effort against Luka. And he's like one of the few dudes in the league that can guard Luka. So, you know, kind of goes back to that conversation. Can you trade Wiggins? You know, because he can guard him. Who else on the team is going to guard him? I mean, Clay, you know, kind of, maybe.
That's a good point.
If he's in the mood for it. But, yeah. And then I just wanted to mention, this is the last thing. The Bucks lost to Washington tonight. And they are literally imploding. Wow. Like, it's kind of unfortunate. I mean, they didn't have Dame, but what difference would he have made, really? So
wow,
yeah,
they really did. Wow,
I you know what? Great call, Ebony. Appreciate it.
Wow. Y'all have a good one.
Have a great one.
That recap just caught me up on the.
Are you? Let's do 10 seconds on the Bucks.
Okay. Right.
In theory, none of this should matter. When the playoffs come around, they should be in the Eastern Conference Finals, a minimum, right?
Wow.
But yeah, I know you feel the same way I do. I watch them like, I don't know. I'm not buying.
Well, not buying. You know, you can say that about the Denver Nuggets because the Nuggets can turn the Jets on whenever they want. The old school Warriors could turn the Jets on.
Sure.
It's like the Bucks are trying to figure out how to play together. You can't turn the Jets on when you're not good enough to do that, and you haven't shown that you are, right? So I just underrating
Drew, making him the fall guy. Giannis, low-key, kind of LeBron-ish, kind of just like plays like he's cute in front of the camera, but blames everyone but himself.
And it's not working for him, just like LeBron. That's why LeBron has 4 championships only, despite being the greatest player of all time.
All I know is like you shot 40% against the Celtics. Oh, but no Middleton. Steph lit them up in the same fucking playoffs. You might not be as good as people think. Just gonna say it.
I think one thing before we get to the next person, the Wiggins stuff is interesting because it is like, you know, he's not been good for the whole season, and then all of a sudden, man, how do you trade him when he's by far your best defensive player that plays over 30 minutes a game? It's a question worth asking. Unless you bring someone in.
Draymond's your best defensive player, but you need a perimeter guy, and he's your best perimeter guy. So there is this assumption that Kuminga will get there, and maybe he will. Maybe he will. But he's not there yet.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
What's up, Eritosh?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, first of all, thankfully, they finally won a game against a good team after I moved to the East Coast. It's been a struggle staying up till 1 a.m.
Oh, you moved out there,
Yeah, I'm in Virginia. But anyway, speaking of Wiggins, I almost had tears in my eyes watching him guard Doncic because, like, it really, he turned back the clock to 2022. I just had a thought that outside of Draymond playing defense, I don't think I've enjoyed anyone else playing defense like Wiggins does when he's locked in, especially on Luka and even on Tatum, like when he did in that series. So there's that. So I'm really glad he finally, I don't know if this is going to last or not, but honestly, it's just so much fun watching him play defense and just watching the entire Warriors team play defense. Like the rotations were so much on point. We did give up a couple of open three-pointers, but other than that, like it was honestly just like back to 2022. Like someone just turned back the clock. Even the series, like Luka was looking like the Luka from the 2022 series. Like, and And one last thing I wanted to say is, regarding the JK versus Wiggins versus Draymond talk, honestly, if you have noticed, Wiggins looked great when Draymond was out or JK was out. JK looked great when Wiggins is out or Draymond is out. And Draymond is Draymond. So like, it does seem to me like those three are occupying pretty much similar places, especially at least on defense or like in terms of like how the offense goes. So we definitely may have a decision to make going into the offseason, like we probably know we do. So, and finally, I think Luka, I don't know. Mavs don't look like a good team to me, honestly, because like they have two heliocentric players. I don't know. Kyrie can maybe play off ball and Luka apparently has worked on his off ball skills, but honestly, I don't see them winning a championship playing like this unless one of them gets... I mean, the only time two heliocentric guys have won a ring, I think, is when Heat played with Wade and LeBron. But Doncic is not LeBron, so unless he gets there...
Yeah, LeBron and Kyrie, right? Yeah.
Yeah, LeBron and Kyrie too, that's fair. But again, it's LeBron. That's
exactly. That's kind of the
Doncic point. Unless he gets to LeBron's level, I don't know how they're going to win.
Well, like the thing I've hit on this before is like he could be on LeBron's level offensively, but LeBron was elite defensively, man. Like and Luka, like people like to throw him in that conversation. I've seen that kind of carrying team. It's like, dude, he's not good defensively, and LeBron wasn't just good. He was all time offensively, though.
But I think even the other thing is LeBron physically is more dominant than Luka. So like Luka is going to get tired trying those step backs throughout like a 4-game series or 7-game sure. series, like just like it happened with the Warriors. So, like, obviously, I'm not saying every team has a Wiggins or a Warriors level defense. So he may end up winning one, but honestly, just doesn't feel like. It doesn't feel like with that kind of heliocentric.
Or you just play in the Eastern Conference. Like, that's the other thing. Yeah, right? Like, LeBron played in a joke conference. Like, he just slept walk.
Are you sure Dallas wouldn't win the East today?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's.
I mean, Celtics might
be the East is better now. Defenders. Right.
Is it?
East is better now than when LeBron played in the East. Like, LeBron had to go through what? Fucking DeMar DeRozan? Guys was pissing shit down his leg.
I mean,
he was playing in the East.
They're still just going through DeMar DeRozan.
What's that?
They're still just going through DeMar DeRozan. But yeah.
DeMar DeRozan was like a 1-2 seed back then.
No, I'm just kidding. I give you a hard time.
It's just LeBron. LeBron, I'm saying LeBron's better, but at the same time, I forgot as I'm making that argument. Like, that Eastern Conference was a joke. Like, they would coast through that East, and the Warriors have to go through like 3 title contenders. You know what I mean?
So yeah, maybe I'm just Warriors biased because, like, probably a defense that's not as good as the Warriors may be able to get past them. So I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? Appreciate you, Paritosh. Yeah. Have a great evening, my man. We're gonna be discuss if San Jose is in the Bay again?
No, man, that's already settled. We don't have to rehash.
What's up, man?
Nothing much. Good night. They ended up winning a good game. I want to get to your point about fatigue and Steph. So okay. I think you're right. I think he's tired. Like, this game, I watched this game and I was like, there was a little bit of like Gafford's an elite shot blocker. He got some shots blocked. So every once in a while, Steph will get into a little bit of like a foul hunting mode. He took a couple of those like floaters where he was trying to like hunt for a foul because he felt some contact and it wasn't a good shot. But like, I don't worry about 30. Like, he had 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, a steal. Like, he cares. Like, I want everybody else to be, like, playing really well going into the play-in. But what I want to ask, especially because I honestly want an NBA investigation about other teams colluding to make sure Warriors can't climb the standings, because we cannot move up from 10. Like, every single time, like, the Suns – or the Kings are playing somebody and it's like, oh shit, Murray's out that game. Oh shit, like
it's every wild, single isn't time
it was Kawhi missed the game tonight against the Kings. Like, I'm a reasonable person. I feel like when it comes to my sports fandom though, I'm like completely like a conspiracy theorist. But all of that to say, like, we're 3 games back on Phoenix, and like, I would love to like avoid playing the Lakers in that first game in the play-in, but I'm not seeing a path so much anymore. And so my question to you guys is, especially because we were talking about fatigue, especially for Steph, we win this game on Thursday against the Rockets with the tiebreaker. We're what, 4 or 5 games clear of them? Yeah. Like, what are your thoughts about like resting some of these guys, especially Steph, going into that play-in? Because honestly, right now, like, they could play it out and they have the path to get in front of the Lakers. But, like, how much do you ride these guys for the home court in that play-in? Like, what is a better, like, strategy? Is it, like, resting these guys? And I know momentum is really important, too. Like, they're playing really well right now. But, like, in terms of, like, I'm just curious what the coaching staff is thinking right now about that, because I'm sure they're looking at the standings. And I'm curious your guys' thoughts on that.
I like it. So the Phoenix Suns play the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow. For context, I'm pulling up the schedule as we talk about it. And I think you got to give it a couple more games to see where everything plays out. And if it looks like there's very little chance you can make progress, you might as well pull everyone the last week of the season. That's where I'm at with it.
Well, I think the problem is that if you do that, you're playing a one and done. And you risk the chance of being out of rhythm, especially sure. if you're Steph and Clay, who are jump shooters. Really, Steph really is so much more a jump shooter at this point in his career right now. It's like, you don't want him to come in and all of a sudden he's trying to shoot his way back into rhythm and he's 5 for 15 going into the fourth quarter, right? But then you can also make that argument like, well, he's exhausted, and tonight he went 5 for 18 because he's tired, which is what I think is the case. So I think maybe you sit that Pelicans game, like as you're looking at the schedule, the Warriors have a back-to-back on Thursday, Friday, and then against the Jazz. Like maybe you sit him against the Pelicans, and then you play him against the Jazz, right? Just to get him that one game of rest, so he's not playing a back-to-back before the final game of the season, and then you play that. So that's a great question, man. I think. Like, what are you really fighting for? Now, if they're fighting for to get an 8 seed, I think Sam brought it up where it's like now they get two bites, right, yeah, to make the playoffs. And obviously, you don't rest guys. Like, you want to get the 8 seed. But if it's a difference between a 9 and 10, I think the comments brought this up too. Like, I mean, they play better on the road than they do at home this season anyway. Like, it doesn't really matter. Chase is not doing anything for them. They don't play any better at Chase. They play worse.
I'm mostly curious about the Phoenix Suns. That's where I'm at. The Suns play Cleveland tomorrow. Cleveland is in a dogfight for seeding. I'm assuming they're playing their dudes. And then they play the Wolves on Friday, another team who's in a dogfight. And then they play the Pelicans on Sunday. There's a realistic chance the Suns drop all three. And even if they drop two of them, the Lakers will probably pass them. So I think it's too early to make those proclamations. But if we get into middle of next week and it's clear they can make no movement, you might do it, because that playing game's on Tuesday. The final games are Sunday, the 14th of April. The playing games start on Tuesday, the 16th. So it comes pretty quick. Let's revisit this in a few days.
No, I get it. It's maybe a touch too early, but it's like, I feel like part of the reason why you don't want to be in the play-in, obviously, is like twofold. It's like, one, two extra games when you're in the 9 or 10 seed just to get into the playoffs, which is like, for a team like this, extra mileage on their legs just puts you at a disadvantage, especially when you're going to end up playing like maybe OKC, which is all young athletic guys. But like, resting beforehand kind of cuts against that, because like if you look at the teams at the top, OKC, Nuggets, Timberwolves, like they're right on top of each other and they're going for it, like it's a dogfight. So like, can you maybe like build in a bit of a rest advantage? Because yeah, I mean, I don't think the coaching staff and the team is thinking like, we really hope we can just beat the Lakers. Like, they're hoping to get into a playoff series. But to Andy's point, you're right, it's like a one-off. That's the other reason why it sucks to be in a play-in. And the more I watch this team, because I actually feel like they're starting to play good, is really frustrating, because I'm actually like pretty confident that, I don't know if like a Denver or an OKC, they'll win a series if they end up with one of those matchups. But like, I feel like this team could do well in a 7-game series. But like the variance of like a 1-game elimination, like I'm terrified. Sure. But like, that's why I'm so frustrated. I'm like, man, if they could get into a series, even with a team that maybe has more talent than them, like, I feel like they could actually make a good showing at the very least because of the way they're playing. I just, again, if it's a one-off against the Lakers or even like the Suns, like Booker went off for 52 the other night, like that could happen because you just catch him on the wrong night. So to Andy's point, it sucks because it's like a one-off. Anyways, guys, I'll leave it at there. I just want to also shout out, because everybody's talking about great defense on Luka. Moody played, again, fantastic defense. Second game in a row. I'm basically going to start calling Moody Luka stopper, like Ruben Patterson, because he seems to have like a good knack for specifically guarding Moody or Luka. So anyways, I like to shout that out.
I like it. Appreciate it. We didn't talk about Moody enough, honestly. He gets a playoff time and Moody gets back in the rotation. I don't know what this is. Steve like fucks with him in the winter and then it gets to spring. It's Moody season, you know?
That's pretty good. We'll see. I mean, is Moody going to play on Thursday?
Should. He
Kuminga's back. Just saying.
Steve's the only coach in the NBA who wants a bunch of wings but doesn't know how to play wings together. Oh, they're not Andre Iguodala. Yeah, bro. Sorry. Sorry you can't have wings with guard skills at all times. Sometimes they're just wings. That's really what it is, right? Like, because Andre was like pods offensively in terms of trustworthiness, but he's also Wiggins' physical build and defensive profile.
Yeah, so. It really, really is. I would like to. It's good to see his 3-point. Good to see his 3-point shooting come back. That's what it is.
Yeah. Let's get our guy Gio up here. Gio, if you start dooming, I will kick you off the stage. What's up, man?
You guys hear me?
Yeah. What's up? No dooming.
I'm not. I mean, I wasn't gonna doom. I mean, well, I was gonna talk about Steph. Like, is that really dooming? I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know. Man. He kind of. I mean, he kind of looks like. Kind of looks kind of washed. I mean, I'm just gonna say.
Here we go again.
It's not the shooting. It's the fact that honestly, he just like looks dumb out there. Like, cause like he just makes these bad decisions like all the time. It's kind of sad to watch, honestly. Like anytime a team puts like a big wing on him these days, he just like I don't know, just like bad passes, doesn't really do anything much. Like he looks, I don't know, man. It's kind of sad. I mean, that's it.
That's it? That's all you got on tonight's game? That's all you got on tonight's game?
Here's the thing, right? Chris Paul played well, so I can't really hate Chris Paul because he kind
of hated us. Just, I need you to say, thank you, point guard.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying that, bro. I'm just proud of me.
Thank you, point guard.
It's always fuck Chris Paul. To the end of the other. Fuck Chris Paul.
Number three.
That's me. Oh, please.
Number three, you're with me. All right. Gotcha. Jill, appreciate you.
Never happy. Never truly happy.
That's okay. Yeah, not everyone needs to be happy.
Gotta love it.
Not everyone needs to be happy all the time. All right, what's up, man? What's up?
What's up, guys? Yeah, you know, last time on the show, it was after the New York game, and we were pretty much like shitting on Wiggins. And, you know, with Wiggs, it's not about the offense, you know, like, in a nutshell, for 14 points a game, it probably isn't good enough, but it's fine. But it's always been the defense with him, right? And like the effort hasn't been there like for the majority of the year, but it has shown up in the last couple of games. And this game, I think he gets up for Luka, sort of like he gets up for LeBron as well. So, I mean, it was a great game from him. And like, I think Andy hit the nail on the head at the top of the show. Like the Warriors are sort of built on defense. They aren't built for their offense as much. Like even during the championship years. Right. And I mean, Klay was known more for his defense than his 3-point shooting, to be completely frank. And, you know, like, and that's why when JK comes back on Thursday, I don't want to change the starting lineup. I like the way it's going, and I vote for defense over offense. So that's just my take. And, yeah, I mean, piggybacking on, the schedule question, I think so. Somebody wanted to go over the schedule, see where the Warriors could rest and all that. Like, where do you guys see the Warriors finishing? When it's all said and done, will it depend on the rest? Will it depend on how other teams do? I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. And is the Mavs game pretty much a throwaway game because of the back?
Ooh, appreciate the call, my man. I do think the Mavs game is probably, well, let's put it this way. I think the Suns playing a back-to-back today, or sorry, Wednesday and Thursday will tell us if the Warriors want to go for it against the Mavs on Friday or not. If Phoenix loses two in a row, all of a sudden...
Yeah, I think that 8 seed is what they got to go for.
All of a sudden, you're like a game back. And if you're game back,
who has a tiebreaker?
If you can get to 8... The Warriors have the tiebreaker over the Lakers, but the Suns have the tiebreaker over the Warriors.
The Warriors.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have a shot at 8, you have to go for it because 2 games is better than 1.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But
and do they figure that out on Thursday? Do they know on Thursday?
No. The Sun, it's too early.
Lost twice in a row. Probably.
I think they're going to go for it against Dallas on Friday, no matter what. I think. If we get to next Thursday and there's like, they might just rest everyone the final 2 games. And Andy could be right. That could be a huge mistake, but a lot to be determined over the next like week or so. That's kind of where I'm at with it. I don't think they're going to make any decisions Thursday night, though.
Yeah, no.
Appreciate you, man. We'll take one more and then we get out of here.
How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man?
I just got a quick question for you.
Sure.
Out of the teams in the bottom, is there a team that you would prefer to face in the play-in?
Kings. Kings. I'm going quick. I think the Kings are self-destructing. I think the Warriors own them mentally. That's got to be my number one. Curious your guys' thoughts, though.
Anyone but the Lakers probably is the easy one. I think the Lakers are a terrible matchup for the Warriors. It's pretty obvious. Everything the Warriors try to do doesn't really matter. LeBron becomes an all-time three-point shooter. When he plays the Warriors, is super annoying.
Adam Silver throws on that purple and gold, too.
It would be Adam Silver's worst nightmare if that 9-10 was Lakers-Warriors. But, I'm with you, the Kings. I don't think the Suns are a bad matchup, honestly. They're another team that, like, think about the Lakers. They could play some defense, and they've got AD. And what are the Suns doing? I mean, they're a joke on defense. Their offense is kind of just a heavy diet of bullshit. And just mid-range jumps. Like, what are we like? That's not. Look, man, they could beat the Warriors. They probably be favored, but like, that's not. It's not an impossible game to win. I just think the way that the Lakers play, you're not beating the Lakers. You're not in the one game format.
2-0 this year. 2-0.
The who?
Warriors against the Lakers.
That's not.
Demons true. Have been exercised. Oh, 2-1. Sorry, I already deleted the one. They're undefeated in the games I want to remember.
They have one more, right? That they have one more, yeah. Right? Next week. I just don't think that's a good matchup for the Warriors. But yeah, I mean, if it's a one game, right?
Two,
I mean,
we're gonna, if you don't count the losses. It's true.
to the caller, I mean, the real answer as Warriors fans sitting here for the last decade watching this team, if it's one game, like you just it's Steph. It's Steph, it's Draymond, Klay gets hot, it's still those three guys. It's one game. Like you can make the argument as a Suns fan, you don't want to play the Warriors. Lakers fan, you don't want to play the Warriors, right? Like being if you're a LeBron fan or a Laker fan, like this whole season, now you're still on the second half. Now you get Steph. Now you get Steph, and he could just go 45, and you're going home, right?
I do think from an order of best to worst case in terms of your best odds, Kings, Suns, Lakers. I think you beat all three, but. If you were to ask me what is the
pretty easily
scenario that gives me the most confidence, that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Pelicans aren't dropping, right? Mavs aren't dropping.
I don't think like it's possible, but it's unlikely.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's
probably rather play the Pelicans if they somehow drop, but that's fine. Like Ingram's not playing, right? But any like those, you're right. That those are the three. Man, the Kings are a mess. I actually kind of.
And that's kind of also, by the to be clear, that's why you want to get into the 7-8 game, because you're likely to get one of the teams you feel better about than like, all right, we're going to LA. So,
what the first time the Warriors, how many times have they played in the play-in game?
Just once.
Right. They beat, where were they? The 10 seed or the 9 seed?
They're the 8 seed. They lost to the Lakers and they lost to the Grizzlies. They beat the Grizzlies. The game.
Oh, to get in to the play-in. Got it. To get in. God, God, that season was disgusting. Oh, man. All right, we'll be back post-ball.
Appreciate everyone. Have a great evening.